The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Believe what the Word of God says. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So now is a time of great grace for families because it's such a confusing time. Such a sinful time. So it's not a time to despair, but the opposite. Well, if it's so sinful, it's so confused, it's so disordered. Therefore, God must even give us even greater grace for our families. So now is a time for holy families to rise. But we have to respond with great generosity and trust in God.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
And yet marriage and family are under attack, right? Certainly are. We'll talk about it coming up. Marriage, loneliness, there's some stunning statistics on how lonely young people are. I was shocked by what I found. I'll share that with you coming up. But if you're just joining me, Father Tad Pohlcheck is my guest. He's Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. You can find out more. Somebody go to his website, fathertad.com. He's an author of a column called Making Sense Out of Bioethics. And we're talking about Christian burial. Really, what we do with the remains of our loved ones. Why sacred ground? You know, is cremation acceptable? A lot of different questions. Father Karen in Central Texas has got a question for you. I'll bring her on here as well. And Karen, thank you for your patience. You're on the air with Father Tad.
Hi, Father. I need some advice. I miscarried about 23 years ago. At 11 weeks, I was in the hospital, and I didn't have the presence of mind or even the thought to ask for the baby's remains. And it's just now really starting to bother me that I didn't do anything, and I don't know what they do with, you know, a miscarried baby. But what advice do you have for me now and maybe for someone who might be facing this situation currently?
Yeah, well, Karen, first of all, I'm sorry for your loss. Father, I mean, she hits not only just the miscarriage. I think of how many women have had abortions and never think about that child. Of course, most women probably don't want to have to deal with the burial of that. But there are a lot of people in retrospect say, okay, I've got a child. What happened to it? So what do people in this situation do when the child is now out of their hands?
Yes, well, it depends a little bit on the hospital where this occurs. So if you're in a Catholic hospital, there typically is this understanding that we need to treat all of the remains of unborn children, all fetal remains, with respect. So a lot of these hospitals, they'll have the opportunity, if the family would like the remains of the miscarriage, they will make arrangements to transfer those remains to the funeral home. And then there can be, you know, a small box, and there's the possibility of making the arrangements for burial. And you can even ask, you know, a priest to come and offer prayers for the deceased at graveside when the interment occurs. So that's one possibility. But many times it will be the case, you know, similar to the case of Karen here, that they basically weren't aware of this option. And so what the hospital will do in that case is they will often have a common grave where they will, after a certain amount of time, different children who have died, they'll each receive their own small container, and they will all be interred in a kind of single ceremony together with prayers offered. So in a Catholic hospital, that's usually how it's handled. In the secular hospitals, it may be a little different sometimes. Again, there will be the possibility in some hospitals of transferring the remains to the family. Yeah. But in other cases, there will also be just a treatment of the child as, in effect, medical waste. And the child will, you know, not receive a separate burial in some of those settings. So yeah. It's just a reminder to us again of the value and importance of Catholic hospitals and, you know, our Catholic health care facilities approach things differently than the secular hospitals, and that's a real blessing for all of us.
Well, Karen, thank you for your call. I've got to leave it right there. Father, thank you very much for your insight. We'll have to revisit this.
My pleasure.
To revisit this issue. A lot of questions for you, for people. As we wrap it up, just a very quick question. There's been several people wanting to know about sacred ground. Why should the remains, the cremains, or the individual be buried in sacred ground?
Because this represents a place where the church recognizes that we all gather as a community and pray for the dead. So even if somebody is buried there and, you know, the rest of the family doesn't care. Right. But when other Catholics come and pray, they're praying for all of the dead in that consecrated space.
Gotcha. Father, thank you. We'll catch up again soon. Always appreciate it.
Okay, well, I look forward to it. Great to be with you, Drew, and Maggie as well. Thanks so much.
God bless you. That's Father Tad Pacholczak. And again, you can check him out at his website. Very easy to find. Simply do a search for fathertad.com. All right, it'll get you plugged in. I will revisit that issue for many of you. I know a lot of people want to get in on it. But I'm going to change gears right now. I want to share with you one other story that I've been following. This is an important one as well. I don't know if you have kids or grandkids. Maybe you're in this category where you're suffering loneliness. 2 years ago, the Harvard Loneliness in America study found that 36% of Americans, they reported feeling lonely frequently or almost all the time in the prior 4 weeks. The stat that stood out to me said that 61% of young people felt this way. They reported serious loneliness. I mean, that's why suicide it has been on the rise. Half of the lonely young adults in the survey said this, I'm going to quote it, quote, reported that no one in the past few weeks had taken more than just a few minutes to ask how they're doing in a way that made them feel like the person genuinely cared. It's funny, I know somebody who said to me the same thing. They were in their bed for weeks. Nobody ever reached out to them. And they were young adults, and they were lonely. We are in an epidemic of loneliness, very serious evidence right now of a crisis going on in our country. And it's a crisis that's leading to another crisis as well, not just suicide, but a marriage crisis. We're becoming even more siloed in our lives. We don't want to deal with anyone who might disagree with us. So things like dating are going by the wayside. Less people are dating. Fewer people are getting married. With fewer marriages, there's less social stability. And that doesn't do anyone good. So breaking through that loneliness, I know, is the hard part. But even marriages can be lonely. And we'll, if you're going through that, please call. I'd love to talk with you as well. Doug Hinderer joins me today. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist in Illinois whose passion is helping couples, working with couples to help them live the message, live the married life that God intended for them from the beginning. You can check out his website. It's happymarriageforlife.com. It's good to have him with us. Doug, thanks for your patience today. Good afternoon.
Great to be with you, Drew. Thanks for having me on.
I'm stunned by these numbers, and I want to talk a little bit about it. I know a lot of people are married, and yet in that marriage, they're incredibly lonely. I think I was listening to Patrick Madrid show a couple of days ago or last week, and somebody called up and said something to him that, or maybe I was reading the rundown here. I forget where I saw this, but this person was in a relationship for years, 30 years, 40 years. I forget how long it was. But towards the end of the relationship, there was no touch, no marital embrace, no kiss. I mean, the person was living siloed and was incredibly lonely. Yeah. And you know, a lot of other people, they grow apart. You know, I see this with people who have been married 25 and 30 years. They've had their kids. They've raised them. The husband goes on to his career. You know, that becomes his marriage. And the wife, the kids are gone out of the house now. They're empty nesters. They don't know each other. So what are you seeing? I mean, is there a loneliness crisis going on? How do you see it?
Oh, yeah. Huge. I mean, loneliness is probably, in my opinion, the most painful emotion that there is. And especially in marriage, because now I'm united with somebody and I am lonely with you. And, you know, there's nothing worse than being lonely in a crowd or being lonely in a marriage. And I think, yes, definitely a problem in marriages. I see it every day. Definitely a problem with our teenagers, our youth coming out of COVID, where they were isolated from their peers. It's definitely a problem because of social media. So, I mean, kids have never been in contact with more people, but have never been lonelier because the contact is through a computer screen or the screen on my phone. It's not person to person. It's not eyeball to eyeball. And especially social media, it's kind of a license for cruelness and meanness and harshness and not for love and compassion. So, yes, we're living in very lonely times.
All right. And Doug, I'm going to open the phones too. If you want to join us, maybe you're going through a difficult time right now, feel free to give us a ring, 888-914-9149. There was a recent article in the Institute for Family Studies where the author talked about a very simple thing, just of greeting one another in a way that makes it look like you're really glad to see your spouse or your children. It's something I never thought of until I saw that. Can something as simple as, I don't know, the way we greet somebody in our relationship make a difference?
Huge. Yeah, and one of the things I encourage my couples to do is take one of the most important contact points in a day for a married couple is when you come back together again at the end of the day, when you come home from work and you reconnect after being away from each other. And I encourage my couples to take 5 or 10 minutes at that time and say, hey, what went wrong for you today? Oh, well, this and that and my boss and this customer. And that's your opportunity as the spouse to affirm and to praise your spouse and say, you know what? You're worth more than that. And I value who you are. And I'm happy you're home. Come here. Let me give you a hug. Let's get our evening off to a good start. So taking time to connect to each other, eyeball to eyeball, looking at each other in the eye is one of the most revealing indicators of the health of a marriage is how often the couple actually looks at each other.
Wow.
So this connection, this eyeball connection, really powerful in a marriage.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. My producer Maggie sent me an article showing that new research shows that marriage makes women actually healthier and happier. What is it about marriage versus just cohabitating and living together? Because I know a lot of people, a lot of young people today, to be honest with you, many of them are saying, we're going to move in. You know, we got student loans, we got these other, and they live together, for a long time. And yet they say, you know, we don't need to get married. Does happiness increase with marriage? I mean, what is it about the vows?
It does. It does. It's huge. And over half of all couples who get married live together before they get married. And there's an awful lot to live together that don't get married. But the difference is when I marry you, I say, I'm going to stay with you no matter what. When we're just living together, it's implied that, we're together as long as I feel like it. But I can cast you aside if I change my mind.
Yeah.
But in the marital commitment, I'm saying, I will die for you. There is nothing more important to me than you, and I am committed to you for life. Nothing affirms a person more than there's another person that says, you are now the center of my life, and you will stay there till the day I die. That is huge.
It's fascinating. I had a cousin. I often share the story of him. I remember he lived with a girl for about 8 years, right? And she wanted to get married in the end. And finally, she said, look, if we're not getting married, then the relationship's over. Well, he didn't get married to her, right? And she left.
Yeah.
6 months later, he was married to some other girl. I was like, what? I mean, what a dagger to that girl's heart. I mean, you think, wow, you really must not have cared that much about me. In 6 months, you can commit to somebody else.
Right.
And it seemed to work. He got married and he was very much in love with this woman. So, but it's weird because I see this on the rise. Why are less people choosing marriage today if it's so good for us?
It's complicated, like everything. But a lot of, over half of all the kids are growing up these days in divorced homes. They see the pain. They're scared. They don't want to go through what their parents went through. And I work with engaged couples whose parents are divorced, they're frightened. They're like, how do we avoid this? We do not want to put our kids through what we went through. And so they're scared. And plus we live in a culture that says, it's free love. You don't need a commitment. And we live in it's a hedonistic society, but a very selfish society. It's about my pleasure, about what I want. And it's not about commitment. It's not about sacrifice. It's not about this idea of agape love, this sacrificial love. It's about, eros love, this the love of pleasure. These are tough times. And all the things that society holds out, this is, this is what will bring you happiness. This is dead wrong. That what brings happiness is sacrificial love, is being in this committed lifetime relationship, bringing children into the world and all of the burdens and sufferings that entails too. That's where real happiness is found.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. My guest today is Doug Hinderer. I only have about 10 minutes with him. So if you want to join us, I mean, he's an expert in helping marriages that are having difficulty and just giving you the strategies that can fortify and strengthen your marriage as well. His website, if you want more info on him, is happymarriageforlife.com. Happymarriageforlife.com. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. You can get in now at 888-914-9149. Faith is listening in New Jersey City, New Jersey. Faith, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Doug Hinderer.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just commenting to the person who picked up the call that I'm 78 years old now, and I did not get married. I wanted to get married, but it didn't work out. And when I was in graduate school in the 70s, I was at the University of Vermont. And in the fourth year of graduate school, my job went part-time, and I had time on my hands. So I did two things. I jogged, and I went to the Catholic Newman Center, and I spent about 2 hours a day in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. And by about the end of April of that year, 1978, I realized I was no longer lonely. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I also realized that that condition was going to stay and remain with me yeah. as long as I didn't have any serious crisis in my life and turn away from God. And mm-hmm. I can tell you, I'm 78 years old, yeah. I live alone, and I am not lonely. And it is because a priest once told me it's total integration that took place in my life.
That's great.
And yeah. so I offer that to people. If you are lonely, spend time with the Blessed Sacrament.
A beautiful message, huh, Doug? Love that.
Yeah. My, Faith, your parents named you well. I think, yes, exactly. You're,
that's a beautiful name.
I mean, the best friend in the world is our Lord, and we can find him every day in the Holy Eucharist. And there's no friend around that is better and will never let you down than our Lord. So thank you for sharing that. It's a beautiful testimony.
All right, 888-914-9149. You can get in. Just a few minutes left with Doug Hinderer. Evelyn is listening to us in Staten Island, New York. Hi, Evelyn.
Hello. How are you?
We're well. Thanks for calling.
I'm calling because unfortunately my husband has a serious drug problem, and we have been separated for 3 years now. We're still married. I don't believe in divorce. So I am very lonely in my marriage because I don't have a husband at this time. And, you know, I just want to know, how can I continue to stay focused and, like, not give up on this marriage and not feel so lonely being married to somebody who's not emotionally available for me.
Right. No, very tough, right? Loneliness in a marriage is a very difficult thing. I think I have two thoughts. One, to piggyback on what Faith said about the Blessed Sacrament, spending time with our Lord, and praying for a miraculous conversion for your husband. There is no prayer more powerful than the prayer of a wife for a husband.
Yeah,
and so sure. I would encourage you to do that. And also, what couples or what people do oftentimes is they'll find ways to fill their emotional bucket outside the marriage by volunteering time at a homeless shelter, at a facility that works with small children. Or there's lots of opportunities to volunteer time for people who are also lonely. And that's a way to kind of fill your emotional bucket while we're praying and pleading with God to bring your husband back around and to heal him of this addiction. Because realize the addiction doesn't mean he doesn't love you.
Yeah.
He's just been taken over by this powerful addiction. Even though it hurts you, he's not able to stop right now. So,
Evelyn, I can speak to it personally because my own father, his drug of choice was alcohol. I mean, he was an alcoholic and a great man, never ever laid a hand on me, always provided for the family, kind of functioning. But, you know, there were points where his addiction, when it got bad, people told my mother, get rid of him. He's a bum. You're not going to have any future. What about your kids?
Yeah.
And my mother was a woman of profound faith, and she prayed the rosary. I really believe it was the rosary and Our Lady that freed my father from his addiction. I was with my father when her prayers were answered. Probably 25 years later, I was in South America, Doug, at a place where the Virgin Mary was reported to appear, a place called Betania. And the night before, he emptied his wet bar. He drank all the way. He loved vodka. That was his drink, you know. And he received such a profound healing. He said something lifted and left him, he says, and never touched a drop of alcohol for the next 21 years of his life, you know, until God took him home. And you know, it was a testimony to me of the power of prayer and that addiction's not greater than God. God can heal marriages. Yeah. He can heal addictions. Now, you got to do your part. Yeah. You have to get treatment. You know, your husband, you got to get him into some sort of counseling and get him some sort of help. You got to take those steps. But don't underestimate the advice of Doug gave you, the value of a wife's prayer for her husband or her husband's prayer for the wife. You're joined together in that sacrament, and there's a special power in that prayer. So pray hard for your spouse, and I believe God will do the rest, all right?
It's St. Monica not only got the conversion of Augustine, but of her husband as well through her prayers. So
Amen.
She can be a good patron for you.
Yeah, I believe, you know, it's so easy for us to say, oh, addiction's too big for this. You know, I'm going to give up. I'm going to get out. And I understand that. Now, if there's abuse, you've got to get out of a relationship. If there's problems like that.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, get the treatment. Do everything you can to save your marriage and trust in the Lord. Gil in Long Island, New York. Thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Yes. Hi, my name is Gil.
Good to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Yes, it's a pleasure and a treasure speaking to you finally. I'm calling from Long Island, and hello? Yeah, and just got interference. I was wondering, I'm a born-again Christian, and I love the Lord, and my sister, and they have a pretty good marriage, but they don't really go to church. I'm just wondering how I could be a blessing to them. You know, marriage is going pretty good, but... Yeah. I wish they would go back to, you know, to church.
Sure.
Years ago they did, you know.
It's a good question,
and I
Gil.
Don't want to force them.
Yeah, great question. And Doug, I know you as a counselor have strategies for that. I'd love you to address that question, and because we have a few moments left as well before we go to some more phone calls. I want to tie the church into this as well, because another thing that the author in this article that I read talked about was that churches need to teach people how to love in very practical ways. So how do we get them back, and what role does the church play in all this?
Yeah, it's huge. And I think, so Gil, I mean, the primary thing you can do is lead by good example, right? To be happy, cheerful, to love them, embrace them. People get pulled into the church. Nobody gets pushed into it. And, you know, the way life goes, they may well face some sort of crisis in their life, in their marriage, in their family, in their jobs, and they're going to need to turn somewhere. And if they know you're a good example of faith, they can turn to you and they can turn to their faith. So, be a good example, pray for them, and love them back into the church is what I think we got to do. And we do that by taking an interest in people, by validating them, encouraging them, affirming them, and really showing an interest in their life and being good friends. And that's how we pull people back into the church and by our example. So yeah. I guess that's what I would encourage you to do, Gil.
Awesome. Gil, hang in there. Keep praying, too. Be a witness. Stephen in Adele, Wisconsin. I hope I got that right. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just have a couple of questions, I guess. My wife and I are currently going through a divorce. She decided to file after we've been together for 17 years. We've got three children.
Wow.
I was evicted from the house due to a court order. She now currently has kind of a live-in boyfriend when we're not even done with the marriage.
Ouch.
So I guess I'm just looking for advice as to what I can do to help my family, help my wife.
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough one, right? I mean, it takes two to make a happy marriage and only one to destroy it and pull it apart. I certainly don't know the details of what happened there, but your wife is in control of that. And I think the best thing you can do is to love your children. And to not be critical of your wife to your children and make sure that your children continue to respect her and to treat her well and with dignity because she's still their mother. That's the thing. And I think there are support groups out there for divorced dads to kind of be together and to support each other and help each other and deal with these issues. And so I would encourage you to find a support group.
Yeah.
That deals with dads who are victims of divorce, and I think they would be a great source of comfort for you and help as well.
Stephen, Maggie was telling me that your children will call into the chaplet and pray for the marriage as well, and the rosary. They call into the rosary.
Yep.
And I know that's a powerful prayer. The prayers of a child reach the ears and the heart of God in a special way. Do you want your marriage reunited? Are you willing to forgive your wife and save that marriage?
Oh, definitely.
That's good. What a bitter cup you have to drink from. And that's heroic love. It really is. Doug, is there a resource you can give to him? I know we often talk about Retrovi and Hope for Your Marriage. I think there's a website for that. But what would you recommend?
Yeah.
What's next step?
I there's nothing I know for sure up in the Wisconsin area. But if you go to CatholicTherapist.com, they've got a page out there for every state in the country. And you can perhaps find someone there who you could talk to. Who might be able to refer you on. Perhaps your parish priest would know of something in the diocese, a support group for victims of divorce. I would start in those two places.
Yeah, Stephen, final bit of advice. Maggie had just said to me, she's offered a great suggestion. Maybe bring your kids to the Walk to Mary. Make that little pilgrimage. go to the Mother of God, go to St. Joseph, and ask for your marriage to be saved. So we'll be praying for you. I know a lot of other people who are listening right now will offer a prayer for you as well. Doug, always great to talk with you. I'm very appreciative of your time and your expertise, and I hope people will check you out as well. Best way to connect to you, is there something you want to promote before we wrap it up?
No, not yet. Well, I've got a workshop coming up in May for engaged couples trying to discern marriage. It's a virtual workshop on a Saturday.
Now, let me give the website, happymarriageforlife.com. You'll find all the details. Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester. Mr. Shaolin, beauty's gone, time goes by too fast. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Yeah, let's continue the conversation. Of course, you're welcome to join me. 888-914-9149. And gosh, taking a look at marriage, you know, it's a tough situation for a lot of couples. We just heard from Doug, and you heard the last caller whose wife has not been faithful to her husband and is trying to save that marriage. I think a lot of people overlook those pillars of marriage. It's supposed to be lifelong, right? It's supposed to be open to children, right? There's supposed to be fidelity there. I think if we had, you know, if we had an openness to life, it was, you know, if it is lifelong, if there was that fidelity, I think divorce rates would be incredibly small. You know, as divorce laws liberalized, and that started back in California in 1969, the whole idea of marriage, the concept was, hey, it's not meant for a lifetime. You get divorced for any reason whatsoever. You know, that infected our country, and it spread like a poison, like a venom. On top of that, what came at the same time, or maybe a couple of years before that, the pill, right? That came on the market in, I think, the early 1960s. And that means what was meant to be open to children was that something that couples who are now married can say, don't need to be open to children. I got the pill, right, if they want it. So the two essential parts of marriage were being directly challenged. And I keep going back to this. I sound like a broken record, even to myself. This is demonic. It's Satan at the very heart of this. He knows how to corrupt and destroy. He knows how to divide. He knows how to conquer, right? So if I can let people believe marriage is not lifelong, that it's not a faithful commitment, you don't have to be open to children, it's done, right? And what do we see now? Even in churches, I think part of the problem, too, you got to take the plank out of our own eye. I think the church needs to do more. A lot of parishes around the country, they adopt a six-month policy for getting married. You go to the pastor of the parish. You go through some kind of marriage preparation program. Tells you, you know, what used to be just common knowledge to help you enter into a valid marriage. And no one in the church, you know, nobody wants to see you applying for an annulment. And that's the problem. I think if we had better formation on the front end, we wouldn't be handing out annulments on the back end of the conveyor belt, right? People get married and back end are getting divorced. Some of these marriage prep sessions I've seen, you go in for half a day. That was my marriage prep. I think it's six hours or something. It's a half a day. Now, a friend of mine was a priest. He actually married me, and my wife and I spent time with him. But I see how they treat some of these kids who just they just want to get through it so they get married. So the Pope now, Pope Francis, is suggesting we need to go a step further. With so much confusion around marriage, he's suggesting that the marriage prep program not be a couple hours in a day or 6 months or whatever your diocese has. He wants it to go on for a year. Now, my producer Maggie and my call screener Nick both getting married, right? Can be a long time for some people. I know people got engaged and married in less time. So the Dicastery for Laity, the Family, and Life made the suggestion to the Holy Father, and he endorsed it last year. Let me just share this quick quote for you, and we'll talk to my former colleague here, Chuck Neff. He says, they said, with too superficial a preparation, couples run the real risk of having an invalid marriage or one with such weak foundation that it falls apart in a short time and it can't withstand even the first inevitable crisis. These failures bring with them great suffering and leave deep wounds in people. And, you know, he's right about that. Now, that last caller, you know, I mean, I look at him. Look at how many marriages people get married and a year later, 2 years later, thinking, ah, it's not going to work. My colleague Chuck Neff, who was on the air with me for a very long time, very gifted journalist and a wonderful broadcaster for years, used to host The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. He wrote a book, and I want to recommend this to you. I think this is an excellent, excellent read. It will inspire you. Everybody that reads this book loves it. It's called The Deal. Okay, you can find it on Amazon. And it's about a man who's trying to tell his wife that he's going to divorce her, and then what happens on the way to do that. It's a great, great story. But he also recently developed a new marriage preparation program. And we'll get you connected to that as well. It's a delight to have Chuck back with me here. And, of course, one final note before we open his mic. In conversation with God, you hear Chuck's voice all the time. And if you want to have him keep you company, check that out on our Relevant Radio podcast, okay? In Conversation with God, wonderfully delivered and, of course, very inspiring. Chuck, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, hey, Drew. It's great to be with you. You ran out of guests, so you called on Chuck, right?
Now, that's not fair. You're one of my favorites. I know how hard you are to get.
I know. Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. Good to hear your voice again.
You know what? And just a little inside baseball for people who are listening. It's always fun to talk to a pro. I mean, you've anchored here for years, so it makes my job easy. I get to sit back and throw you a softball and let you take it away. And that's what I'm going to do right now, okay?
Okay.
In the past, I know a lot of people took for granted what we knew marriage really was. I'm curious to your perspective. This has kind of been a vocation of yours recently from the time you've left. I know you've done series for EWTN, a lot of other things. What went wrong? I see the attack on marriage in a couple of ways. I kind of laid that out. But what went wrong? I mean, the marriage today is just an absolute mess.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know exactly what went wrong, and I know you quote Sister Lucia a lot, the Fatima visionary, in one of her last interviews said the final battle between Jesus and Satan is going to be over marriage and the family, and look at what's going on. And your guest before, in the first part of the hour, we're talking about, you know, it's complicated, and I don't know. I just don't know exactly what happened, but I just see young people, they're afraid, especially young men and women too, they're afraid to commit to this lifelong vocation. And Judy, my wife and I, we give talks on marriage. We were just up in Lakeville, Minnesota at All Saints Catholic Church. Father Tom Wilson, who was one of our spiritual directors on The Inner Life, he invited us up and to talk to their Cana dinner. And it was an incredible turnout. I mean, I just think married couples are hungry, but they don't know what to do. The world gets in the way, and they're all wrapped up in jobs and kids and that commitment they made to one another on their wedding day when they said, I do, and promised, took those vows and promised to love one another through it all for the rest of their lives. That's just kind of like those are hollow, shallow words, and I just don't think that people today in many ways take them for what they are. Those were vows in a covenant relationship rooted in God, and I just don't think people understand that today. I think they're afraid, and I think in many cases they don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm going to open the phones in a minute, so if you want to get in, you can. It's 888-914-9149. What are your thoughts on a year? It seems a long time for marriage prep. What's the Holy Father saying? What are your thoughts on the length of time or even the courses that are taught?
Well, I think that may scare some couples off if they know they've got to spend a year. I know when Judy and I did marriage prep, a lot of it was, you could tell, I mean, you just had to watch the body language, especially among the guys. Yeah, I want to get married, but, oh, my gosh, did we have to go through marriage prep? And you could just tell from the body language. Their arms were crossed. They weren't into it. I think if you ask people, what do you remember about your marriage prep, if you went through it, I think most people will say, I don't know. I don't remember that. And so it's a year is a long time, but man, oh, man, we've got to do something on the front end to let these young couples know how important they are to one another and how important they are to the church. And I think the other part of that, Drew, is I know you were talking about that study on loneliness, but part of the article, and I was reading it the other day too, is that churches are not making a commitment to married couples. Yeah, they're putting in the work on marriage prep, but they're not doing much after people get married. And so I know that's what we're trying to do in the little work that we're doing with a book. And we've developed a workbook called 7 Days to a Marriage Worth Celebrating. We've put together seven sessions. It could be 7 days. It could be 7 weeks. But the Celebrate Catholic Marriage Experience that we're trying to take into parishes to tell married couples how important they are to them, to one another, to their families, to the church, and to the world around them. So there's a lot of work to be done, but I think in many ways married couples today are feeling a little bit left out. They don't know what to do when loneliness does get into the relationship, and it does. It does. And those bad times, we say in our marriage vows, the good times and bad times. We don't say that because bad times might happen. Bad times do happen. But then what are you going to do with it? Yeah. And whether it's just a relationship issue or money or whatever it is, what are you going to do with it? Well, in those marriage vows, you said you're going to work through it. You promised to work through it. So I think we've got to really educate everyone, married couples and those thinking about getting married, that how important this sacrament is to the world around them.
Yeah, no kidding. My guest, Chuck Neff, you can join us, 888-914-9149. Let me bring Maggie into this conversation, Chuck, too, because she is engaged. She's going to be married in May. And Maggie, I'm just curious, what's your experience with the whole marriage process like?
Well, let me ask you a question, Drew.
Ouch.
Would you trust someone that said that they were a doctor who said, oh, yeah, I have my certification. I read a book and wrote 4 essays.
Wow. Now, you read a book and wrote 4 essays, or this person who's teaching you did?
Well, so the part of the Archdiocese program the content is good, but it's one book and a couple of videos that you watch writing 4 essays. And this is all done distance learning. Our parish, we're lucky enough that our parish, the priest has required that we come and sit with him and have some additional conversations. But I'm like, this does not, like, it's,
yeah,
and
I'm
then to talk about having a year worth of this, I go, You need to improve the quality of this before you increase the quantity of it.
That's a great point. Quality over quantity. No, I would have an issue with that, too. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think we need to have something that's interactive, something that's formative, you know, for sure, something that's quality. We check all the boxes. Okay, read the book. Write me 4 essays. Click, click, click. Okay, you can get married. Chuck, that's probably why we're seeing on the back end, too. I don't think people understand the sacramentality of what they are entering into. And that's the problem. And what that commitment, that covenant ultimately means in the end. And that's why on the other end of that conveyor belt, we do see a lot of divorce and a lot of people lining up for annulments. But I don't know how that changes. I mean, is the church aware of it? What are you seeing in your work?
Well, I think the church is aware of it. I think what happens, and I know Judy and I were a presenting team couple for Worldwide Marriage Encounter for about 9 years, and we helped start Retrovi in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. And when we would do weekends, Drew, I'm telling you, every weekend, some guy would come up to me, and he would start looking around to make sure nobody was listening, and then he would kind of lean in close and whisper, "Man, Chuck, when you said whatever it was, I thought I was the only guy in the world that felt that way. Wow. And I got it every weekend, and it just said to me that we go through life thinking we're the Lone Ranger, that whatever we're going through, that nobody else could be going through it. And it's just not true. So we have to tell married couples, you're okay, but whatever it is, you're not the only one going through this. And part of the problem is that we go through through life thinking we shouldn't be having these problems because we're not seeing it anywhere else. And that's because we don't want anybody else to know what we're going through. And so we don't tell anybody.
Hold the thought. I've got to take a real short pause. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us. Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, lot to talk about today. How's your marriage? Let me start there. You're thinking about getting married? Are you engaged? We're talking today about some of the common signs that a marriage is in trouble, how couples can prevent that. You know, what do you believe is the future of marriage? Are you all in on it? Do you understand the sacramentality of it? So much to get into. I'm delighted to have Chuck Neff with me. He's a former colleague here at Relevant Radio, the author of a book called The Deal, and I'll plug the book again. Great book. You'll love it. Chuck also travels around with his wife, Judy, and they've helped a lot of couples. They've inspired a lot of couples. Let me put it that way, to understand the real meaning of marriage and to find healing and strength in it. You have this new marriage preparation program, Chuck, and we're talking marriage prep right now. I want to go to the phones, but before I do, if people want to get plugged into it, what's the best way to have you speak or learn a little bit more about what you're doing?
Well, they could... maybe go through, the publisher is Mater Media, and it's M-A-T-E-R, Mater, as in mother, matermedia.org. And they can have access to the book, and they can certainly get a hold of me through that website. And for speaking engagements or, you know, whatever, just talk on the phone or whatever that may be. Right. That may be the best way, Drew. But, and it's really not so much a marriage prep program as it really is for married couples.
Okay.
And certainly marriage young couples could go through it, too. And, when, you know, when I wrote the book, I wrote it for guys, to be honest with you. And what I've started to get is engaged couples need to read this book. Really? And so that may be something for engaged couples, too. And it's a Catholic novel, as you mentioned, about this guy who's just thinks his marriage is over and just his journey through a couple of days back in his hometown and meeting an old high school friend who's now a priest. And it gets pretty intense in terms of their encounter and all of that. So anyway, so I've always believed, Drew, that we can read a book, but man, we've got to get plugged into other couples to know that we're not alone. I know our experience is we had two other couples that Judy and I traveled with. We prayed together, challenged each other. We fought in front of each other, did all of that. But to know that there's somebody else out there walking the journey with you in your marriage and other married couples going through their ups and downs, it's powerful in terms of being able to weather the storms. So.
It's something we haven't talked about, but I think it's so key. My wife and I, we pray together. I know you and your wife do as well. Yeah. We even have friends that we will pray together with, whether we're together or maybe we'll even do a novena and they'll call us at night and we'll pray together for whatever the intentions are. But there's a power when you bring God into your relationship, when you bring him into your friendship. There's something about it. I would invite anyone who's listening who's not done that, try it. It will transform those relationships. Let's grab a couple calls. I have a few moments. TJ in Indiana, you are on the air with Chuck Neff. Good afternoon.
Hi, gentlemen. So I just wanted to say that the sacrament of marriage is a building upon to get to it. And when you look at our statistics in our church, the sacraments of both the Eucharist, the belief in the real presence, which is at an all-time dismal low in our Catholic church right now, and also the lines at a confessional, I think those two statistics point to the ultimate failure that we're having is that we have spiritual adolescence at best. in the average adult Catholic. And until you can approach those subjects and give a building of Catholicity to our sacrament of marriage, I think we're kind of just floating in Protestantism with these types of statistics. What really separates us? The contraceptive rate is the same across the board. I don't understand where we're having confusion about the sacrament of marriage when there's just so much confusion about everything else.
Yeah, it's such a great point, TJ. Thank you. Chuck, he's on point. I mean, Catholics contracept at the same rate, unfortunately. Yeah. They divorce at the same rate, unfortunately. And that really does speak to a lot of the issues of not really understanding what this sacrament is all about and a real lack of proper formation.
Yeah, and I know we don't have a lot of time here, Drew, but it just brings back to mind St. Paul the Sixth and Humanae Vitae. Yeah. And if somebody in the listening audience has not read Humanae Vitae, it's not that long. Read it.
Yeah, it's good.
In 1968, Paul the Sixth basically laid out what is going to happen to the world if it becomes a contraceptive world. And what we're living in, he prophetically saw what was in front of us if we were going to contracept. And here we are, right in the middle of a contraceptive world. And it's killing us, literally killing us.
It certainly. Hey, TJ, thank you for your passion. I don't want to lose hope. I believe marriage ultimately will stand. It's one of the great sacraments of the church. Yep. We just have to do our parts, to educate and transform not only our families, but our parishes and the culture at large. Claire in Orlando, Florida. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that good 8-week program called GIFT. It's called Growing Intimacy Forever Together. We had table leaders. We each had a book. The man had to do his part. The female had to do her questions. And when we had to get together separately from the class once a week to discuss our findings of this, whatever the assignment was for the week, we always had a guest speaker. Might have been the priest or one of the other table couples or an outside speaker. And then afterwards, we had a potluck dinner.
So how did it work out, Claire?
We got the certificate. It was really quite amazing. Good. And they did talk about, which was in a separate class, how to the family using non-contraceptive ways of.
That's great. That's right. Claire, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second because I only have about 2 moments left. I want to give Chuck some final thoughts here. But there are good programs that are out there. And I don't want to throw, darts at every Catholic program across the country because that's not what I want to do here. Because I know there are people who get it. And there is some great formation areas where it's weak. Okay, we need some help. Claire apparently had a good one. And I like the fact that they're dealing with the contraceptive aspect of marriage, too, because a lot of married couples use that. Chuck, I only have about a minute and a half left, and I want to give it to you as we wrap the program tonight.
Well, and to Claire's point, there's so many good programs in the church. And I know guys in particular, we used to kid the guys on the marriage encounter weekends. We could tell where you've been because we can see where the heel marks are when you came in through the door. I mean, there's so many good programs. If we told some guy, Drew, we've got this this class on making you a better businessman or making you a better runner or whatever, how many men would get in line for that? And yet we're going to tell somebody, hey, we've got a program for you, whatever it is that's going to help improve your marriage. And we've got guys saying, I'm not so sure about that. Really? Come on. This is the most important thing we as men and married men have in the world, and it's our wife and it's our family. And we should be doing everything in our power to make it better. Not perfect, but to make it better. And there's so many good programs out there. Just even, Drew, honestly, listening to your program and everybody on Relevant Radio, what a way to improve our faith and our marriages. But take advantage of what the church is offering to us because it can be life-giving.
Chuck, thank you. God bless you. My love to your wife. Check out The Deal by Chuck Neff. Until next time, may God bless you.